Winona Forever is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more podcasts about movies and nostalgia, head on over to cageclub.me. Hi, I'm Lindsay Gibb.
And I'm Rekha Tulsaram.
And this is Winona Forever. And we're back.
Okay. So yeah, today is Stranger Things season 3. Woo! The one I've been waiting for because I did not watch this purposefully. Mm-hmm. Waiting until we did this episode. So season 3, it's so hard for me to introduce season 3 because I've watched it once and I feel like I knew more about the other seasons because I got to watch them twice.
Yeah.
And this is like a blur to me because I just watched it.
A lot happens in a short amount of time, too.
Yeah, that too. And they're all different. They're all older. Like,
yep.
Mike and Eleven are making out all the time.
Will is taller than Winona.
There's like a lot of weird new things. Yeah, Will is taller than Winona, which is weird. They all seem to almost age throughout the season, too. Like, I felt like Will looked older at the end than he did at the beginning.
Maybe it was because of his short shorts, but I don't know.
Oh, man, the short shorts.
Oh, the cut-off jean shorts. Will.
There's so many short shorts in this season. There's lots of, like, ooze in this season.
Oh, there's a lot of gore.
Lots of gore. Lots of the mall and Russians, which are big 80s themes. Yeah, even more 80s. So that's season 3 for you, pretty much. That's an introduction to season 3. And I'm on the phone today because I'm leaving for the Nicolas Cage Film Festival in Scotland tomorrow.
She's out.
So out of office. It's called Cagerama. Cagerama, yeah.
The Cagerama.
So yeah. So I'm going to talk about Winona just before I go away to talk about Nicolas Cage. So.
Yes.
What did you think of season 3, Rekha?
I liked it.
You liked it?
I mean, it was fine. I think it was exciting. I liked the Uma's daughter. The Uma's daughter.
Yeah.
Uma Ethan combo.
Yeah. Halfway through the season, I found out that that's who she was.
She talks like Uma and kind of looks like a melted version of both of them.
Melted,
you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, melded together. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, once I was, Matt mentioned it to me that that's who she was, and I was like, okay, I could see that. The one note I made about her right away was that she did not look 80s to me. She looked like a modern person.
True, she did. She didn't look 80s at all. What's interesting, I wonder if Winona and her talked about Ethan during like the Reality Bites time.
Right? Yes. I very much thought about that as soon as I found out that's who she was. It's like, is this a reunion? Yeah, I liked this season too. I feel like maybe if I got to see it twice the way I got to see the other seasons twice, I mm-hmm. might have liked it more than I did. I didn't like it as much as the other seasons.
I watched it once and then I went and watched a few other episodes, just like singled some out, which so I watched the last two and like one in the middle or something, or the last three. But I think I've seen the first one of season 3 a couple times.
Okay.
I liked Dustin and Erica's friendship in this one. They buddy
good.
Up and, I don't know, break into the
it
Russian
nice
lab.
It was nice to have Erica back again because she was great last season, but we got like only small moments of her. So
yeah, and having her as a bigger role is good because she's a good character. Sassy.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's super sassy.
And you need the sass because nobody else is that sassy in the show.
It's true.
Yeah.
But she embraced her nerdiness as well by the end. So that was nice.
They handed over the Dungeons and Dragons to her.
Yeah. She had layers. That was enjoyable. what else do I have about the first episode, I felt like, I don't know, like I was maybe a little thrown off by the way all their relationships had changed, but I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, it's gross to see teenagers kiss. Older. I'm sorry. I don't know. Yeah.
They're not even, are they teenagers?
Well, whatever they are. Like
pre-teens. Pre-teens or something.
Yeah.
It's a little upsetting how much making out was happening.
Yeah.
I could relate to Hopper in the sense that he was just also like freaking out that they were making out all the time.
Yeah, like 3 inches, the door. Like, I get it.
Yeah. Right. It must be also hard to be a father to a daughter who can like close the door with her mind.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh God, what can I do? Yeah.
Yeah. I read some of the reviews that they were saying that like Hopper this season, that he wasn't very nice and he was kind of a douche and using a lot of like violence and like, you know, aggression to get what he wants, which is kind of gross.
Very true. He did get douchier again. Like I felt like when I rewatched season 1, I remembered liking Hopper, but then when I started watching season 1 again, I was like, wait a second, he's a jerk. Mm-hmm. So he goes from being a jerk to being good, but then he kind of goes back to being a jerk again this season.
Yeah, like he like threatens a 13-year-old boy.
You want to see real crazy? You disrespect me again. Okay. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to drive you home. And I'm going to speak, and you're going to listen. And then maybe by the end of it, maybe if you're lucky, maybe I will continue to allow you to date my daughter. Not if you understand.
Yeah.
For one, and like,
Mike was very disrespectful to him, but he definitely didn't deserve to be threatened violently.
Yes, Mike's a little shit too. But
yeah, Mike is a shit. Yeah. Did he write the speech in the first episode? I think so. Him and Winona wrote the speech for Hopper to, or like whatever,
Hopper
to try and tell Mike and Eleven his feelings about what
boundaries and
the boundaries. Yeah. So I don't know. That was kind of nice, but the Winona Hopper relationship was also weird this season. Like, I get that they were kind of trying to bring them together, but they were fighting so much, and it reminded me of Destination Wedding. Like, I just felt like Winona was Joyce anymore. She was
bickering the two of them, and she was just like trying to get him to like stop being a dingbat and like.
She was, but she was also kind of being a jerk. Like, it was weird.
They're both
like,
whiny and weird.
Like, I couldn't totally be on her side. And it was, they were both whiny. It was strange. I mean, I enjoyed that Brett Gelman guy, the guy who plays the journalist.
Yes.
He was kind of a nice foil to their, like, weird bickering. Mm-hmm. And also just, you know, watching him speak Russian was enjoyable.
Yeah, Murray.
Yeah. I had to look up whether he actually spoke Russian before this, and he did not. He learned.
Mm. I like when he's wearing, like, he's at the carnival, and he's in short shorts and a tank top, like, somehow. Like, what?
There was so much short shorts in that. Clearly, 85 was the year of short shorts, I guess.
Yeah, it must have been.
It must have been. One thing that happened in the first episode that Matt pointed out to me was that they played the Cutting Crew song, I Just Died in Your Arms Tonight, and that song was from 1987. I just died
in your arms tonight. Oh, continuity. So
they screwed up. They screwed up. Anyways, of course, Matt knows that kind of thing off the top of his head. He's just like, that song's from 87. Anyway, I wouldn't have noticed.
And Dustin comes back from camp saying he has a girlfriend, Susie, of course.
And nobody believes him.
And
they build a satellite.
Yes, to communicate with her.
That building of the satellite reminded me of the Cloudbusting music video. Do you know the Kate Bush Cloudbusting?
No.
Music video. It's just about like a scientist who builds like a rain machine, and it's from the point of view of the sun, I think, of the, so like Kate Bush plays the sun, and not Kiefer Sutherland, his father, Donald Sutherland, plays the scientist, and they're up on like a hill and they build this machine. Anyways, they're up on a hill and they build the satellite, and it reminded me of Cloudbusting.
Oh. I thought of E.T. in the clearing where they make the thing and they do the, he has a little blade he makes the satellite.
Oh, do they?
Because E.T. has to communicate with
home. That's an actual satellite.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
But, you know, Kate Bush, too.
Sure. I mean, it's all 80s. We get Never Surrender by Corey Hart in this episode as well. In the first episode. We got Sunglasses at Night last season.
Well,
so then we got Never Surrender this season.
Then.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, dear. And you kind of, you get a moment of the science teacher in the second episode. But there's, they're not in school. It's summer, so you don't really get much of the science teacher. You just get him listening to Weird Al, which was sweet.
Yeah. I'm glad they referenced Weird Al.
I appreciated it. Nancy and Jonathan work at a newspaper, and it's like a super boys club.
Yeah.
That is just horror. I hated watching those scenes. I just hated Nancy being treated that way. It really sucked.
It really sucked.
And we had, who was one of the guys was Jake Busey, I think. And it's just like, he's the perfect kind of creep jerk character. Like, his face is just such a creepy jerk.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So, yeah, that was the type that worked there.
But then they discover the rat thing.
The rat things. And that starts all the ooze.
And the gross, and the bodies, and the mind flare, and... Oh, all the depth.
So many things.
All the depth.
I know, there is a lot going on here. You've got, like, the weird oozing rats turning into the mind flare, I guess.
The fertilizer
going
missing.
They all kind
of, like,
ooze together. Yeah.
And then, Billy, of course, Billy's gets captured possessed by the mind flare. And he goes capturing other people, and they get possessed and killed.
And do they all ooze? Do all the people ooze down into this mind flayer thing? Or I don't know.
I think that they at the end they say that like 30 people got killed in the mall. So I think those are all the people that died as a result of this mind flayer.
Okay. Right.
That's really gross. Well, you know, when it and goes like, into the sewer and the bones stay, I thought that was the grossest thing ever.
Oh.
It like melts into a sewer.
That.
Ew.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty gross. It was very bloody and gooey. Mm-hmm. There's a part where they're at the movie theater, like, so yeah, a lot of this takes place in the mall, and there's a part where what's their faces, the girl that works at the ice cream place,
Robin and Steve
go to the movie theater, and when they're standing outside the movie theater, it says what was playing, and the Stuff was one of the movies that was playing.
Oh,
I don't know if you're familiar with the Stuff.
I'm not. I don't know what the Stuff is.
So are you prepared to say on the air that you've actually seen people devoured by the Stuff?
Oh, hell yes. And what's worse, I've seen what's left of them when the Stuff gets through and comes back up.
Coming soon for you, the Stuff. From New World Pictures.
So I saw it for the first time this year because Allison Lang, who was on our Reality Bites episode, she did a thing for Rumorg TV about melt movies. So like horror movies that are like a lot of like melty bodies and stuff in it. And the Stuff is one of those movies.
Ew,
so
I didn't even know that was a genre
this year.
Like subgenre.
I know. I didn't know that either until I saw that. And the stuff was one of the ones she talked about, and then they showed it at the Royal, so me and Allison went to see it, and it was amazing. I loved it.
Oh, wow.
but it's from 1985, so it's from the time that this takes place in, and it's like a melty, melty movie. Anyways, I feel like they must have been inspired by the stuff
100%.
To like mention it on the thing and then have all this melt happening.
Yeah.
So, yeah. A thing to watch. I feel like it's on a streaming service. I watched it again after I watched it at the Royal. So it's good. It's good stuff.
It's good stuff.
It is. So I finally get, now that I watched this season, I get some of the stuff that we talked about in the second season episode. Like the fact that Steve...
Yes.
You guys were referring to him as like a daddy. I was like, why are you guys referring to him as a daddy? Oh, I get it now. I get Daddy Steve. He is like their daddy.
Yeah.
Because he's got all the kids come to see him and he's excited when Dustin comes
back.
Yeah,
his boys.
All his boys. I feel like there's another thing.
It's Scoops. Scoops Ahoy.
Yeah, he works at Scoops. That's great. I mean, the mall is so classic.
Scoops Ahoy.
So classic 80s.
Yeah. The mall, the lighting in the mall, the neon pink. Like it was really, they really captured the 80s in that mall. Reminded me of like Saved by the Bell or something.
Totally. The colors and stuff.
Or like the Facts of Life store.
Yeah. Yeah. So then Steve, Robin, Dustin, and Erica crack like a code, a Russian code, and then find them kind of like working in the basement or like really underground under the mall.
Mm-hmm. And they're basically trying to open up the upside down again. And
that's right. That's what's happening.
That's how the mind flayer has power.
Yep.
And meanwhile, there's a Russian scientist that somehow gets captured by Hopper and Winona. And then they go to Murray to translate to get him to speak. And the Russian scientist basically says what they confirms basically that the upside down hole is open again. So then Winona just assumes that the kids are involved and was like,
yeah,
we've got to go protect them.
Yeah, I think that was the other thing that was off about this season for me is that I feel like Joyce has been such a like an amazing hero for the kids. And then this time around, it was just kind of her curiosity about the magnets falling off.
Yeah, like she was more like trying to solve a puzzle as instead of like worrying about her kids. But that's, yeah.
And she totally like leaves the kids to go off on this adventure with Hopper, and then she doesn't really know where her kids are either, and I'm just like, wouldn't you be worried? Like she does get worried after she figures
she
out
does.
What's
she
going
goes
on.
She goes to Mike and Nancy's mom and she's like, where are your kids? She's like, you know,
I don't know
basically. They could be here.
Track after time. Yeah, you're that was the other thing that you guys kind of mentioned, that she gets worse as a mom in this season, and you're totally right.
Yeah.
She totally doesn't know where her kids are. And she's just hanging out at the pool with the other moms.
Checking out Billy.
After Billy.
Yeah. Billy at the pool, though, that was like another 80s like throwback, like the lifeguard. I don't know. There was something so, and his hair.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something about Billy. He reminded me of like Kiefer Sutherland in Stand By Me as like Ace, kind of like that bad guy. You know, I don't know. Just like.
Yeah, he's
kind of hated him, but he was also
80s
cute.
Look. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, Billy's scary. That's... So is Ace.
Bill, I think when Billy was at the pool, they played Hot Blooded by Foreigner as like his song, or maybe he played it somewhere. I don't know. It was playing around Billy, and I wrote down that it's the perfect Billy song. it's the song of Billy.
Yeah, true. He is Hot Blooded.
Yeah. And all the older ladies are after him.
Yes.
Oh dear, Billy. So yeah, then Billy, they figure out that Billy is like operating for the mind flare or whatever, and then they trap him in the sauna, the kids.
But Billy has like superhuman powers now and gets out of the sauna.
Right.
But yes, eventually, like, Eleven gets into his mind and figures out Billy's like deep, dark, you know, secrets and childhood traumas, etc.
Right. Which was what I was waiting for with Billy. I was like, what is Billy's deal? So we find out what Billy's deal is here.
Yes, is necessary because you're like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Why are you so mean?
Yeah. Exactly.
Billy's also racist.
Oh, he's because of his whole, like, don't hang out with Lucas specifically thing. Yeah. That part was never explained except for, I guess, just that he's racist. Like, yeah. That's just the thing about him. I don't know.
Yeah, he's just straight up racist.
Yeah, just him.
Just him.
And Winona drives in this.
Yes.
She drives Hopper's truck. I think she drives the Todd... whatever that
oh yeah the Todd thing
they stole from Todd. The Todd whatever. Yeah, so yeah, lots of driving from Winona, which is nice. We always enjoy that.
Classic Winona behind the wheel. I liked when also they all smoking. Had like Russian outfits on, and Winona was wearing this like Russian soldier outfit. She looked very funny. She looked like Charlie Chaplin, you know, like, you know,
amazing.
Give her a mustache, maybe she'll look like. There were some funny parts, like when Uma and Steve, no, I keep calling her Uma, Robin and Steve, like, they get drugged by the Russians and they're, like, totally just, like, on truth serum. And
yeah.
Out to lunch, and then Dustin and Erica have to take them out of the, rescue them and then leave them in the theater to watch Back to the Future. But that doesn't last. They're like, wait a minute, was that movie, was it, like... Alex B. Keaton in love with his mom or something.
Right. Yeah, they're fighting about what it's about.
His mom's trying to sleep with him, yeah.
That was pretty good.
It was good.
It's pretty classic that they watch Back to the Future, and then at the end, Steve is, like, dressed like Marty McFly, kind of, at the end when they go to get the jobs at the video store.
Oh,
he's got like the
right,
vest and everything on. so influential was Marty.
Yes, and of course Steve would be like pick up on fashion tips, you know. Like,
totally.
He couldn't name a movie, but he could, like, you know, tell you how to dress
like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was so many 80s, like, just I'm sure I missed a bunch of like references throughout this, but like when it's like all, I think it's the climax. I think it's like the last episode when they all kind of split up and the Scoops troop goes. Is it the Scoops troop that goes up to the
hill?
Satellite.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they're calling the group that stayed behind the Griswold family.
Yeah.
Which I was like, I said to Matt, why are they calling them the Griswold family? And he's like, because they drive a station wagon. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. That was ridiculous. And then the whole he does, like, Dustin does contact his Susie girlfriend,
the never ending
finds
story
her. Then they sing the never ending
song. Yeah, we have to put that song in. But
oh my god, yeah,
the never ending story. And then everybody, like, I mean, it's like the everyone's like waiting for this code. It's like the way to save the world, and they meanwhile they have to sing the whole never ending story theme song.
I mean, Murray's face is classic when he's listening to them do it, because Murray's already going like, I hate these kids.
Children,
and then he has to listen to this whole song.
He's
great.
So mad. Because, yeah, the code is Planck's constant, whatever that is, a mathematical equation to open the safe that will open a key to unlock the thing that closes the door. The whole thing.
And she, of course, would know it because they don't have the internet in 1985.
No, they have to use like walkie-talkies. There's one point where Dustin's walkie-talkie breaks and she asks Erica if she has any batteries, and she's like, how many? He's like, eight. It's like, no, I don't have eight batteries.
Yeah, she's like, why would I have batteries? And he's like, I carry batteries with me. And then she's like, then why don't you have them?
Yeah.
And he's like, because I need eight. Oh boy. Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, that last episode, I think, really made like made up for the fact that I wasn't enjoying this season
I think the last episode saved it. It was really hard. It was hard to watch because a lot of bad stuff was happening. It was really gory and, like,
yeah,
it was getting dark. And then, of course, they had, like, this mall, you know, fashion thing with Max and Eleven.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Max and Eleven becoming friends was good because otherwise it initially was in danger of being very much like, we've partnered them off. Max is with Lucas and Mike is with Eleven and Will's pissed
the coupling
off
thing
his friends
was getting
are all
a little...
dating. Yeah.
Although Will was feeling pretty left out because he still wanted to play Dungeons and Dragons. Poor guy.
Yeah. I did feel bad for Will.
That's why I said I could relate to Will the most. I'm like, I'd be that person. Yeah. Guys, but what about Dungeons and Dragons?
Though? Let's just still be friends and hang out. Yeah.
Wearing the awkwardly short shorts. Like, yeah.
You'd be that person wearing awkwardly short shorts.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. Who knows? I mean, the 80s were a time. I enjoyed when Steve, I guess he won a fight because Dustin was like, dude, you did it. You won a fight in episode 5.
Oh, yes, yes.
I don't remember what the fight was, but obviously Steve won a fight. Mm-hmm. And it was like pointed out that he had never won a fight yet. That was a good moment.
Yes.
Dustin, I think, had the best moments this season.
Yeah, he was given a good, I mean, they did well with his character this season.
Yeah.
I thought Lucas was kind of annoying this season. He's kind of bratty to Max.
Yeah, he wasn't good to Max, though he did solve the, like, he did help with the whole fireworks thing, even though it did seem like he was just going off track and being like, fireworks are awesome.
Yeah, he was supposed to get a bowl, but sure, fireworks helped.
but he
ultimately
got the fireworks.
Helped, yes.
Yeah, him and Mike were both kind of annoying this season in their, like, one-track mindedness.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else?
The song We Can Be Heroes played at the end.
Yeah, the Peter Gabriel version again. Which I think last season it played because I feel like we mentioned time and Chris looked it up. But here's the weird thing. So we lose Billy. Billy dies this season. Mm-hmm. And he's, I guess, like, I thought Alexei, the
Russian.
Russian guy that they kidnap. I thought he was our sad death this season because I was starting to like Alexei. He was having a fun time.
Yeah, he was likable. But he was also, like, Russian, so he was going to die.
Right. I guess that's true. But then Billy dies, and you're kind of feeling bad, because even though Billy was a douche, he was being heroic at the end.
Yeah, and then he had, you know, and he felt bad because of his childhood trauma and all of that. And
exactly.
But
it's weird, because it means that all of the people who have died, names start with B. We lost Barb, we lost Bob, and then we lost Billy
this season.
Mm-hmm. So who do we have left that starts with a B? Who's gonna die next season?
Well, if there's a new character next season, chances are
their name will start with a B, and we'll be like, you're toast.
The mayor of the town, Hawkins, was played by Carrie, what's his name? I never say his name, last name properly.
I always say Elwes, which is maybe also not right, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yup.
Which is another 80s throwback.
And totally.
Winona Ryder slugs him, which was really good.
Yes, which was enjoyable.
She punches him, she whams him, and then she knees him in the groin.
That's true. I feel like it was a great Winona moment.
Yeah.
I also felt like, and I didn't rewind it to test my feeling, but I thought when she kneed him in the crotch that it seemed to be obviously not her. Like, as if it was a stunt double, but I don't know. Like, I didn't rewind it to double check, so maybe I just was seeing things. Hmm. But I also thought, like, it's not like they were really fighting. Like, why would you need a stunt double to, like, knee him in the crotch? But anyways, I don't know. Just seemed that way. Yeah.
Meeps found some interview yesterday with Hopper and Winona. So mm-hmm. they did do some press together, those two.
Okay.
And it's just it's like 15 minutes of like them reading the Google results. Have you seen this?
Maybe a while ago. And what like, did they? What
Winona
did they
doesn't
do?
Even know what Google is. She's like, "This is what Google looks like." Like she's.
Oh my god.
She's just like. And they're sending facts about, you know, like their childhood and stuff. But I knew all the trivia and like, you know, it's good.
Right.
There was one thing. I can't remember. But anyway, it's a good one if you can find it. I think it was on YouTube.
Did you learn something about David Harbour then? Since I imagine you know less about him than you do about Winona.
He only started acting like when he was 37 or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
they both acted in childhood plays. What was the play? Crap. I think it was The Wizard of Oz. Winona played Annie. Okay. She wanted to play Dorothy, but she didn't get it. Something like that. I can't remember now. My memory's gone.
Interesting. That's okay. I was
beans
thinking with this season, or yeah, like we've talked about how Winona and like women in Hollywood are like they grow up being the woman who's like dating the man that's like 30 years older than them in movies and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when they get older, they're like the mom all the time. And yeah. Like, yes, Winona's the mom again, but like she's kind of in this like season getting together with Hopper, who is younger than her. And like maybe in this show, he's not. I think they're supposed to have gone to high school together. So
okay.
I think they're supposed to be the same age, but in reality, the actor is like at least 5 years younger than her, I think. So good Hollywood moment there.
That,
you know, equalizing things a little bit. Though who knows what's going to happen? Do you think Hopper's dead?
No, because they have that. Did you see? Yeah. You saw the scene at the end there where they go to
where
they're
they
in Russia?
Not the American.
Yeah. Not the Americans. The American's there. He's there.
Yeah.
He's just in Russia.
So I was reading interviews, and obviously they're not going to spoil it, but David Harbour, who plays Hopper, he's like, well, that could be somebody else, like, could be another American, because I don't know, they mentioned somebody else who was unclear. I don't remember who it was now, so I'm like, there's no way, it's you. But he's like, well, I don't know, nobody's called me, like, as if nobody's called him to be in the next season, and I'm like, no, you're going to be in the next season. You're just faking us out.
Yeah. Oh, he's definitely going to be the next season. But I also heard the next season is the last season.
Yeah, I've seen that too. Though something else I was reading said that Netflix wants it to go for a fifth season. So it just kind of depends on if they have, I guess, enough. I don't know. If they feel like they've told the story, who wins? Whether it's Netflix or the brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like the brothers maybe are happy with it just being four, but who knows?
Who knows?
What'll happen? There's a possibility of a fifth season, I guess.
I guess, but how far can they take this? Plus,
I know, because I feel like
the children
was
are
a
so
stretch
old now.
This season.
Yeah.
The children are so old now. They've moved Will and
like Jonathan
11
and Nancy, they gotta
and
go,
Joyce.
They gotta go to university away. Now, you know?
True. There's and also how many years in a row can something bad happen in this town? Like yeah. Every year some new supernatural thing happens.
I know that they opened that storyline with the other girl in Philadelphia or whatever. Eleven's like sister in season two.
Oh yeah. Yes.
But nothing happened with her this season.
No, nothing.
Will something happen in the future? Who's to say? They should do something with that. They kind of like got fell. That kind of went nowhere.
It absolutely went nowhere. It was very much a standalone episode that went nowhere. I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like coming into this season three fresh, I feel like I'd heard people who had watched season three say like, yes, I liked season three, as if they didn't like season two. Like, season one was great. Season two wasn't so great. Season three brought it back.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like,
that's not how I feel.
People's takes on it are weird, but, like, I don't know. I thought it was, like, the series is consistent to me.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd say that's true.
There's no, like...
But I really liked season two.
Yeah. I like the Scoops Ahoy aspect of season three. I think that helped it keep it, like, less serious.
It was definitely zany. Yeah. It was a zany season.
It was pretty zany.
The mall really did that.
Yes.
I wrote down a few quotes that I enjoyed. Erica says, "You can't spell America without Erica."
Mm-hmm.
True, she is such a capitalist. She was like ranting about why capitalism is great at some point.
God.
I mean, I guess whatever. She's representing the 80s quite well, I suppose. And then there's a part, I don't think I wrote down what Dustin said, but there's a part where Dustin and Steve are trying to, like, stake out the Russians in the mall, and they think they found one, but it's just an exercise teacher that they follow. And when they get close to the exercise teacher, they, like, try to play it cool, and Dustin, like, picks up a payphone and it's like, "Hello." Like, the way he's pretending to be on the phone is, like, so hilarious.
Yeah, he's really funny.
Oh my god, it was amazing.
When they're in the Russian lab and then they see all these Russians chasing them, and Dustin is just like, "Oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit," the whole time.
So yeah. Good.
It's like genuine panic.
Dustin's great. Dustin Steve, I think, is the key to this season.
Dynamic duo. I thought Winona was really funny in the last couple of episodes. Like, with her and Hopper, they're being kind of funny and cheeky. It's pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think it came and went. Like, there was moments where I wrote down that, you remember when we talked about Destination Wedding, and I said she was going through all those facial expressions that she made, like, in that acceptance speech thing? Yeah. She was doing that again here with Hopper a bit, making all those weird facial expressions. So I was like, is this the new, like, is this her new style of acting? I'm not sure what's going
all
on.
All the expressions,
But it did improve maybe towards the last few episodes. She was pretty funny. Like, when she came, when Hopper was trying to take the car off that Todd person, and then Winona comes out and he's like, "Hey," whatever he called her, like, detective or I forget.
Mm-hmm.
And then she, like, quickly switches to, like, kind of pretend like she's a cop, and she, like, puts her hands on her hips and is trying to act cool. That was great. That was pretty great.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. So it was a mixed bag of a season, I would say, but mostly good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Could be.
The teenager gushiness stopped for a while, so that was good.
Yeah. Yeah.
They stopped dating Mike and Eleven because stupid teenager reasons, and, like,
absolutely. That's the best description of why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was good.
Yeah. It was good. It was good.
Satisfied.
I mean, we definitely need at least another season. I guess it's confirmed, so it's going to happen. But, like, Eleven lost her powers in this season, so that's the other thing.
Oh, yeah, and Uma's character, Robin, I keep calling Uma's daughter, she comes out as gay or whatever to Steve, because Steve was like, "I like you," and she's like, "No." No.
Yeah, her way was like, "I'm not like your other friends," and "I'm not like Nancy and stuff." But then, she said,
and they sing the song, and it's very cute. It was a very cute scene.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about, though I can't remember what song it was.
Was it "Total Eclipse of the Heart"?
Yes, I think you're right. A lot of 80s songs being sung within the show. Yeah, it was good.
The actor Dustin, he's like a real singer guy, like, he does
I think I've seen him on something singing.
Yeah,
yeah, Hence, I suppose, why they did that never-ending story mm-hmm. thing at the end. The one failing of that part, like, I mean, it was great, and I'm, like, I'm being so picky, but, like, it sounded auto-tuned when they were playing, like, the, when it got really big and the two of them were singing, and again, it just had, like, the sound. Like, I'm sure they're great singers, and they didn't need... But, like, I don't know, it sounded too modern with the auto-tune kind of sound to it that I was like, oh, you're losing the 80s on me here.
But I didn't notice.
But... It's fine. And that's great. I'm glad you didn't notice. I'm just being picky. It's like, anyways, it's fine. It's fine. We are really winding down now. This is, like, literally the last thing Winona's done.
It's our 50th episode. Hello.
I know. 50. And we're, like, coming upon our anniversary. I guess February would be our 2-year anniversary.
Holy moly. Yeah.
Of doing this. But I don't think we'll make it to February because we're going to do that, the mini-series thing that I can't remember what it was called. Yeah. Is it even a series? It's just a one-off. TV movie. There you go.
Yes, about the wife who founded Alcoholics Anonymous.
Right.
Or something like this.
So we will watch that, and that will be our next episode, and then maybe we'll just go away until Winona does something new.
Maybe.
What we're going to do?
I think that's what we're going to do.
Sounds like what we're going to do? I think that's what we're going to do. All right. Well, so we'll get to 51, and then we'll just go away.
That's it. Yeah.
And hope that Winona does more.
Well, she will.
You know, we know that she has that at least season 4 of this and that HBO
series coming up.
Mini series. So there'll be reason for us to come back.
Yeah, we'll be back. Don't you worry.
We'll be back. Oh yeah, as you say that reminds me there was a Terminator character in this season.
What?
Do you remember?
No.
The guy? There was that guy, that Russian guy that was like acted like the Terminator.
Oh, yes, he was like the Terminator. That's true. He was dressed like Arnold.
Yeah. He had Arnold's kind of face. There was like a moment where I almost thought he was Arnold. It was crazy. Yeah. Anyway. Russian Terminator. Okay.
Oh, those Russians.
Just trying to throw that in there. Yeah, the Russians. Lots of Russian in this. I'd like to know how well everybody did at their Russian, because possibly some of the people in this were actually Russian, but, like, for instance, Brett Gelman just had to learn Russian for the show. So it sounded good to me, but I'm not Russian.
Yeah, I have no idea.
So I'd love to know. Anyway.
If any Russians are listening. And
yeah, let us know how he did. I was impressed, so I want to know, but I want to know. Oh, dear. Cool.
Okay.
Sweet. It was fun.
Yep.
We'll see you in 2 weeks for the Alcoholics Anonymous movie. We'll know what it's called by then.
Yes, we will.
Sweet.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Winona Forever is part of the Cage Club Podcast Network. Episodes produced by Chris Landry. Music by No Refunds. Hosted by Lindsay Gibb and Rekha Tulsaram. Contact Rekha and Lindsay at winona@cageclub.me.